Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 30 of From Pain to Power. I just got a little buzz there when I looked it back to see how many episodes we've done, and I can't believe we're on 30 episodes. That's very exciting. I'm very proud of myself because one of the things that I think I shared with you at the start of this podcast journey was this idea of commitment, and I wanted to take my level of commitment in my business and to myself to the next level this year. And one of the ways I did that was by committing to one podcast episode a week. And I had to think about the ways that I would do that. And one of them was imperfection, but also discipline and planning, etc. And thinking about the ways that I like to, I suppose, incorporate my values in the way that I do marketing and what I want, you know, thinking about the purpose of this podcast and this community. So I'm just really proud that I've gotten to 30 episodes. And I want to thank you all for your support, because I do get a lot of messages from you all. I know some of you I'm working with one-to-one, and you often say that you listen. And I have a lot of you in my group as well, my professional training and groups that I'm running. And I just really appreciate, I really appreciate when you share with me that you're listening in and how it's helped you and why you like it. And I also really appreciate the reviews and the stars and all that you're giving me on your podcast player. So I really want to thank you for that. So today I'm talking about the power of support. And I know this kind of might sound like a boring episode, like, you know, it's not a super sexy title, but this is sexy because support gives us results, I think, right? And I have come to see in my personal journey with endometriosis and trauma and healing and recovery and whatever, you know, all the stuff that I talk about, basically, it's not possible without, it really isn't possible without support. And I think that there's a magic that happens, at least for me, and I know for other people as well, in my clients and my groups, that happens in this idea of co-creation and leaning into connection and leaning into supports. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to share with you the ways that I lean into supports and how that has literally changed my life. I'm going to share with you how I weave that into my business and how that's such an important part of the work that I do with people to help them get results. And I'm going to invite you to different ways to think about how you can lean into supports in your life and how you can lean into the power of supports. And I know that that word obviously is really important for me, power, because it's the title of my podcast, From Pain to Power. And I don't mean it lightly. I really don't. When I use that word, I really don't mean it lightly. Like, I really do think that, like, this work that I'm doing is all about enabling, creating a space to support you on your journey of coming into your, accessing and tapping into your personal power, into your spiritual power, into power, and all different types of power. And when I say power, power is a neutral thing. It can have a taboo and a negative connotation, obviously, and we can be afraid of power because it's been abused. Power has been abused in the world, in the patriarchy world that we live in the different ways that it presents and the impact that it has on communities and countries and groups of people and individuals. But when we use power for good in the world, it can be, it's just such an incredible thing. And so that's another thing to think about, is our relationship with power and how we want to be in relationship with our own power, and how we can continue to grow and develop and be in closer relationship with our own power. And one of the ways that is this idea and this importance of support. And there's so many different ways we get support. It can be interpersonal, social, environmental. I know in my last episode I did a somatic experiencing grounding orienting exercise where really that was all about supporting you and help guiding you to access the support of your physical environment. And that's not even like, it's kind of quote unquote inanimate, because we're looking at objects in the room and we're allowing our nervous system to scan our environment, but there's a support in our spaces, in our homes, there's a support in nature, you know, so all those things, the way that we do our interior design as well, the colors we choose to use. that's all part of leaning into support. But today we're going to be talking about interpersonal support, so the support of humans and how that can be used to your advantage in this work. So at the weekend, I was at an event called Soul with my partner and his cousin Judith. She did this really cool kind of spiritual healing event in Ireland that I had the privilege of attending. And I was just this morning on Instagram and I saw her doing some card readings, and just a shout out to her. She does these beautiful card readings, and I'll pop her Instagram into the show notes of this episode. And this podcast is actually inspired by just listening to her, because I was kind of sitting there with my tea over breakfast and thinking, oh, what am I going to, you know, what other topics do I want to talk about in this podcast? And it's important that I lean into inspiration and support and allow those things to come towards me. And one of the cards that she pulled in her card reading was the power of support. And I thought, that's a great topic. So that's inspired by her. So I'm going to share a little bit about my past and how I came to this realization that support is like not just necessary, but how it can really create alchemy and change in your life, and how it really is so magical. So, and I'm sure this is going to be relatable to all of you, because I just think it's such a common story. But in the past, I, you know, obviously had my own journey with endometriosis, and I also had other like difficulties, relationship difficulties and various traumas and things. And I kind of grew up in this, I'm not going to like diss my family or anything. I adore my family and they have been nothing but supportive, but just socioculturally, at least in Ireland anyway, and I know probably in the Netherlands as well, like socioculturally, it isn't encouraged to feel uncomfortable feelings, and we're not really taught how to do that. And we're kind of, you know, they're kind of brushed under the carpet. And if there are uncomfortable feelings, they should only be expressed and experienced in private and away from people, because you don't want to upset other people if you start crying. Or, you know, this is just, I could say a lot here. Even if we look at the social justice lens, women being socialized away from their anger as well. And I guess growing up, like in my early 20s, I hit this like burnout experience in my early 20s, which is a very young age for burnout. But I went to therapy for the first time, and you know, so young and so innocent and vulnerable. And a lot of the work that I did with my therapist at the time, Helen was her name, she really helped me to build safety with scary and uncomfortable feelings. And it was kind of the first time anyone had ever said that to me. And this was kind of well before, I'm now 34, nearly 35. And this was well before mental health was a mainstream topic in the media, and you know, meditation wasn't really talked about, and yoga wasn't yet really commonplace in Ireland. And it kind of blows my mind, like no one had ever said to me, like, Lisa, you're allowed to cry, do you know? And I was in my like early 20s, and I went through this experience of, you know, going home from therapy, and I remember sitting in the bathroom in my apartment at the time, and I just needed a big cry, and I just had Helen's voice in my head, and I was like, oh, I'm allowed to cry, okay, I'm just gonna let myself cry. And it wasn't this choking back feeling of trying to like suppress the tears, but I just really went into the space of really allowing them to come. And that was the start of this journey with this work. And so the reason I share that story with you is because I think, you know, personally speaking, I have been very conditioned to, and I know this is very much linked to our sociocultural environment, which is a capitalist culture that we do live in. It's very quite individualistic, and we have moved very far away from this, you know, this sort of community living and more social ways of living. And even if you look at like mental health, a lot of people do rely on self-help, right? Even the word self-help, like it is helpful, like self-help is helpful. I love self-help books and courses, but honestly, like it really can only get you so far. And this idea that we have to do it ourselves and we have to keep it private and that we can do it ourselves is, I actually think that's harmful, because it creates a lot of pressure on ourselves to do things alone. And I am not that powerful to be able to heal myself fully, right? So I have to rely on supports and helps, because me being a human, I have my own biases, I have all my own blind spots, I have my own traumas, etc. And so it's not possible for me to like hold space for myself only when I want to do this kind of work, okay? So I guess leaning into therapy, that was my first step into getting support emotionally and from a mental health point of view. And you know, just again, the sociocultural conditioning that we have, that it is, you know, kind of, it, I guess it's sort of a, for people who haven't ever done coaching or therapy, it can be really scary to lean into supports with it, because we have been so conditioned to think that we're weak or that we're not good enough. We can't do it alone. because of this environmental, social culture that we live in of, you know, this individualism. And so just to keep that in mind, like, in what ways are you trying to force your own journey with this by yourself alone? And is there space for perhaps some support for you to allow for some support in your life? So obviously, I'm a huge advocate of therapy. I have done a lot of it and I no longer do it every week, but I do go once a month. I find that really helpful, especially since I'm doing this work. It's really important for me that I lean into supports while I'm also holding spaces for groups and individuals. That is, like, crucial because my own stuff gets triggered in the work, etc. And yeah, it's just a really, really helpful thing for me to lean into therapy. And I took my time with, I've moved around different therapists because I think that's also important that you go through a process with a particular therapist or coach and then you bring that to an end. And then maybe at a different point in your life, you work with someone new. And I'm really happy with who I'm working with at the moment. So that's something that I really lean into. And I know it's an investment, but for me, it's, you know, worthwhile. And it's kind of something that I budget in, if you will, to keep me on the road, you know. Then coaching, obviously have a coach, and my supervisor, again, massive, massive support for me is my supervisor. I mean, I really believe doing this work, I wouldn't be, this is how I see it for myself. And you can decide for yourself with, if you are a coach yourself, but for me, I would feel I would be practicing out of integrity if I didn't go to supervision, because coaching is an unregulated industry. And that has its benefits because it means that you can kind of, you know, step into different intersections and work in different ways that perhaps other industries or other professionals, therapeutic professionals, can't. But because supervision isn't a requirement for coaching, I choose to invest in that. I choose to lean into that. I go to individual and I go to group supervision. And it is a vulnerable thing because I go in with, you know, knowing that I am not perfect and that I don't know it all and that I need help with my practice and that I need help with the personal me in my practice. I need help with client work that's especially complicated, difficult client work. I need help with shaping my business around my practice, making decisions. Because sometimes I think something is a business decision, but actually it turns out that when I explore it further in supervision, it turns out it's actually me forcing a personal need through my business. So supervision helps me to stay clean in my practice, as clean as I can. It holds my practice in integrity. It helps me to see my own unconscious biases. It helps me to see my blind spots. And I work with someone who is experienced and, you know, who I feel comfortable with and safe with. And we together have a co-created space in our supervision environment and in the group as well. And I'm really, really, like, I don't really talk about my experience of supervision much, but it's something I also offer and I'm starting to offer now. And it's an area that I want to get accredited in down the line once I have a bit of experience with it. But it's so incredibly powerful. And like a lot of people, you know, I do get a lot of compliments on the way that I work and the way that I shape my business and, you know, the way that I do my podcast, etc. And I, hand on heart, have to say that ever since I committed to supervision and attending supervision, showing up and paying for that and investing in it, it has just completely changed the way that I work. And it's really shown me how I am just an imperfect human, and I'm channeling this work and I'm doing this work and it's creative work and it's therapeutic work. But also I have a lot of support around me, and it wouldn't be possible to hold this, the power and strength of this work, if it wasn't for that. And I think it requires also a certain amount of humility to do that, because like I said, it's an unregulated space. And so that's something that I really, really advocate for. And it's something that I'm off. I have a supervision group going at the moment for coaches that we started in September. I'll have a new group starting in March, and I'll have new groups starting next year as well, if that's something you're interested in doing. But it's such a powerful, like, it really is such a powerful place to bring my work and to explore questions and doubts and fears and anxieties and even celebrate things, you know. So I would be completely delusional to think that I am doing this by myself, because it's far from the truth. And then I have here written down as well, obviously, in terms of my own supports, I have a lot of friends. And also to think about your friends, like, I have friends from different groups, and certain friends meet certain needs and then other friends meet other needs. Like, I have, like, my college friends who I'd go out with and have a few drinks with, and then I have a laugh with. And then I'd have, like, my more spiritual friends. And then I have my friends who live near me, and we go for walks together. And your different friends meet different needs, and they're all perfectly imperfect, you know, that no one person can meet all your needs. And to think that is also going to isolate us, because then we push people away. But rather, inviting in people who are diverse and can meet our needs in different ways is just a magical thing. I obviously have my partner who I turn to, and he doesn't meet all my needs either. And the needs that he doesn't meet, I love that I started with that with him because he meets a lot of needs. But if I, you know, he doesn't meet certain needs and that my friends do meet. And likewise, I'm sure he'd say the same for me as well. But I do lean on him as well for emotional support too. And he's been incredible. And then I'm really, really proud to say that I'm now in a place in my business where I can afford to hire help. So I have recently hired professional support with this podcast and also some professional support with my professional training group as well, because my professional training group is growing. And again, it would be delusional, I believe, out of integrity for me to be running big groups by myself. So I have reached out for support with that. And then I have my business accountability partner, Thomas, as well, who we do monthly calls and we just have a Zoom chat about our businesses and we talk about things that we're struggling with. And so when I work with the nervous system, I know that like magic happens when we're in this place called co-regulation. So we're going to be talking about that again in further conversations about trauma and the nervous system. But what I want to say is there's this concept in the nervous system neuroscience, and it's called co-regulation. And that means where your nervous system comes into regulation, or it calms down or grounds and feels better. You feel more connected to yourself when you're in the company of people, or you're in a space or in a group where you feel safe. And so the people who I lean on for support, so my therapist, my coach, my supervisor, my friends, my partner, my professional help, my business accountability group, those are all really, really important supports. And they are really aligned as well with me and my values. They're not the same as me. They offer different perspectives and different thoughts for me and hold me accountable to things as well. But ultimately, in those relationships is a certain level of safety for me to feel vulnerable, for me to show up in my imperfection, for me to not know it all and to get things right and to be called out and to be challenged as well. And that's really, really important that I have the capacity to do that. So I guess that's kind of what I wanted to share with supports. And also another thing I wanted to say was that I'm also really careful with what I bring to whom. And that's a journey of boundaries as well, to get clear on like who's good at helping you with what and why. And also what I've gotten quite good at is requesting. So before I lean into certain friends, I might actually, instead of just immediately going to them and dumping stuff on them, I might say, look, do you have capacity or space for me to talk this through? And that can be really helpful because then they might say, no, I'm actually really busy. Can we maybe schedule a conversation in a cafe next week instead or something? And I find that really helpful because I do struggle when friends kind of just emotionally dump on me, which is fine and it happens and none of my friendships are perfect. I just find it more respectful to have some boundaries around that kind of stuff with people's energy, etc. So those are my personal supports, and I have other supports around that as well, in addition to that, that I'll talk about another time. But yeah, I'd like for you to think about for yourself, what areas of your life are you kind of doing it yourself, probably a bit too much? Where could you maybe lean into support a little bit more, whether it's your mental health or your physical health or your work life or your love life or emotional things? I also sign up to courses once in a while. Like I like to kind of be doing a course. Like at the moment, I'm signed up to a course on Qigong, which is all about energy and the nervous system. And I, even though I'm learning, I'm doing it for myself personally. I'm really doing it for myself to support my energy levels. Yeah, I'm enjoying that. Yeah, so to think about even in your health, maybe because I've also worked with a nutritionist as well, and I leaned into therapy a lot when I went through my surgery. So that was an emotional support while I was going through physical support, because like my surgeon wasn't going to be able to provide me emotional support, like far from it. He was very direct and abrupt, great surgeon, but had I assumed that he was going to be very emotionally available, I would have been very disappointed and I wouldn't have like worked with him. So I knew that he was a great surgeon and he was able to meet my needs on that like skills based level, but I needed to get my emotional needs around surgery from other places, and I actually leaned into trauma therapy around that time as well. So yeah, I know it sounds like a lot, but and I don't expect you, it depends on what you do in your life, because I work with a lot of trauma and I work with a lot of like deep stuff with people and emotions, and the way that I build my business is very much based on the needs of my practice as opposed to pushing through and trying to grow this massive brand. I therefore lean on a lot of supports and I see that as like the foundations of this work. And yeah, and you can kind of discern those over time. And one of the things that I do in my one-to-one coaching practice is I help people to identify where they need supports in their life and why, and how they can get that and how they can create that and manifest that. Because what's happening in all those support environments that we lean into It is co-creation. So co-creation is this idea of working together, being in community. And it rejects the idea that we are individualistic and, you know, this patriarchal capitalist society of individualism, which is really unhealthy and really harmful. So to lean into supports is leaning into our feminist values. It's leaning into inclusive values. It's leaning into humility. And it's allowing space for more capacity, for more options and more insights and more ideas and creativity. And the more we build our capacity and create space for that, the more we can create and the more we can be held. So yeah, that's the invitation for you today, is to think about your supports in your life. Where would you like to invite more supports? If there's something you want to manifest in your life, or something you want to work on or work towards, or something that's bothering you, how can you invite in more supports for yourself in that? And so that's it. And of course, I am available for support. So if you want to work with me one-to-one, you're more than welcome to reach out to me. I offer free consultations and to see if it's a good fit and to just work out what your needs are and point you in the right direction, whether it's with me or elsewhere. And when you do work with me, then a lot of the work we are doing is working on your resourcing and creating supports in your life as well. So you can find all the details about my coaching on my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com. And that's it. I wish you a lovely, lovely rest of your day. I'd be really curious to hear what kind of thoughts this conversation around support stirred up for you. And hopefully we can move away from support being boring and time consuming and pointless to being something that creates possibility. It's a co-created space. It creates alchemy and it leads to creativity and it allows the unknown and the mystery of what you're working towards to unfold, because we're leaning into the magic of another person. Have a lovely rest of your week and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.